any man that would treat his wife in a shameless situation. And so we have to work on that. How do we solve that? It's easy. Some of you may be listening to me saying, man, what you talking about is easy. No, it is easy. It's just as simple as that. If I was your dad and I just tell you simply, you need to treat her with respect, man. You need to treat her with respect and not like she's just some little plaything that you're with, because that is not what it is like. You need to treat her like this. Listen to this. I think
treat
this.
Treat her like a lady.
Treat her like a what? You see, treat her like a lady.
Treat her like a lady.
Did you? Treat her like a lady. Treat her like a lady, guys. Did you get it yet? Did you get it?
Treat her like a lady.
What? Yeah. Y'all need to be, all right, on the count of three, I want all you guys to say it together. One, two, three.
Treat her like a lady.
Ah, yeah. That's what you, and then you'll be dancing around the living room in your relationship. Treat her. That's the way you'll be sounding, brothers. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Treat her like a lady. Listen.
Now I'm the kind of guy who don't believe that chivalry is dead.
Chivalry is not dead. Listen.
Cause I believe a woman should be treated with the utmost respect.
With the utmost respect. Listen to the words. Listen.
Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid. Don't walk away from her, brothers.
Don't be ashamed.
Don't be ashamed. Yes.
Come and look me over.
Come and look me over. Listen. Well, I don't know about the cigarette that she smokes, but treat her like a lady. That's the whole point. It's a secular song, but I like the principle of what they're trying to say. If you want things to go well with the lady that you're with, you need to treat, you know, just continuously treat her like a lady. And it will have you screaming
like
this. Yeah, the Temptations, treat her like a lady. And that's about it. I'm going to end up a little early because I think that I've covered that's the way you handle intimacy, especially for you guys. Intimacy is easy. Life is easy. And when you do it God's way, it's easy. I know because I've been there and done that. I can look in a library in a world of music. Oh, my goodness. I can only imagine some of the disrespecting attitudes, and I'm picking up from a lot of pastors when they find that I have music like this in my library. Well, yeah, I can imagine. I know how it is, my brothers. The only thing that I'd like to share with you is that God, when He made male and female, made us in such a way that we would be capable of loving one another, of respecting one another, and fulfilling one another. This 11th hour is supposed to show you guys that you have to think about intimacy. Think about intimacy on the level where your lady is. Ask her questions. If you want to know things about her, ask her. Remember, chivalry is not dead. Pull out the chair for your woman. Take her to a nice restaurant. Or cook dinner for her when you come home from work one night. The kids can be a tremendous burden to her. Take those kids off of her hand one weekend. They're your babies also, you know. And if some of you marry someone and they already have children, you guys listen to me. If you love her, well, you have to love her children also. The children come as a part of the package deal. In the community that I come from, there's a lot of ladies that had children from prior relationships that didn't work. But be careful, guys, of the gals that you get with, because I know some gals out there that's gotten with some guys. And since they've gotten with them, they allowed their children to become a manipulative toy to ruin the man's life. I'm just going to tell you flat out. I won't mention his name. But to ruin his life, and allowed her child to be the pawn to bring that about. Because she knew that the man loved her son just as that boy was his own. And I don't think the brother has recovered yet. Let me end up by saying this too. If you never love, oh man, I know I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. I know I'm going to get in trouble. But I'm going to say it because, see, I don't believe that you should go through misery. If you never loved the individual, never loved them. That means that you married them for only for sex. You only married them for money. You only married them for security. If you never loved the individual that you are with now, tell them. And for goodness sake, end that. Because it's going to be disastrous as you go further down the line. Let me raise this. Somebody asked me a question the other day. And they said, Pastor John, said our parents taught us that if you marry a person, and even though you never loved that person, and that person was the guy that you ever wanted to be with, if you were a woman, they were asking, you know, for the woman's behalf, let's say that you married a guy that you really never wanted to be with, but you had babies with him. And I hear you say, Pastor John, that you can, like I just said, end the relationship because there was no love there. Well, what about it when our parents and our grandparents told us to hang in there with the person regardless if there was no love? Now, you know, that to me is a difficult. I'm not living with somebody that I know don't love me. I don't want to eat their food. I don't even want them coming near me. And I don't think that anyone, man, that's like being in prison. So just flat out, if the person said, I never loved you, I never wanted to be with you, this whole thing was a lie from day one, it's time for you to exit that. Because you just found yourself in a trip bag. Split up everything and get away from there. I don't care if the whole church finds, hey, this is me talking to you as a pastor. I don't care if the whole church find out about it. And they tell, oh no, brother, whatever you do, stay with her. What? Because you know she's going to have another man. She's going to, or he's going to have another woman. So what are you doing staying with somebody like that? You get out, man. You get out as soon as you can, and you don't even look back. You don't have guilt. Because I'm going to tell you, people will tell you the truth. You know, that's one thing that I love about sinners. They're going to tell you the truth. A sinner will tell you in a minute that they don't give a hoot about you and why they don't. Now, these people that go to church, and I'm telling you, you got more liars in the church than a little bit. I recall I sat next to a man at a Bible conference recently whose wife did him like that. He had his own little house and everything like that. And I'll never forget the first time I saw her. It was at a church picnic. And I looked at him and I said, oh, my goodness. I said, what in the world is this? And then when, oh, I'm going to marry her. It's just something that I could not believe. I couldn't believe it. They got married. And it's the way she looked at him. That was one marriage, and then there was a second one. And after it broke up, the man was by my house in my study crying. And I asked the wife who had left him to come by and to tell the man why she left him. She had the hots for a computer programmer. She only got with him because he could give her a pretty baby. Oh, these are all tales from the crypt in church, church people, people that are very close to me, people that I confided in, that I loved, met their parents, their family, and even the family told this one girl can't marry him because he's slow brain. Oh, it was terrible. She'd rather listen to her mother and father than to listen to God. And I told the man, go on with your life, man. Go on with it. Took him a while before he was able to get some work, to go to work, to make his life start working again, because she never loved him. She married him for all the wrong reasons. So be careful. Once you discover, and those of you others that are listening to me that married the other person and you lying to them and you don't like this part of it because you don't want them to find out that you lied. I hope they do find out that you lied and leave you standing right where you are. Now, will God do anything against you for that? No, not if you're the one that didn't lie. Do you recall in my marriage counseling, I said it's better for you not to make a vow than to make a vow and defer not to keep it? When Mark Ramsey was in the studio with me? This number that I'm playing right now was written the last year of Mozart's life, which was one of feverish activity. Amongst other complications, he completed two operas and started a requiem, which was left incomplete when he died. Don't let it be said that your life is nothing but a requiem of incompleted devices. The writ says that Mozart, while writing it, fell seriously ill and was haunted by the idea that he was writing his own requiem. But the popular notion is that he was poisoned by a rival. So I bring this webcast to an end and make sure that the rival of your married life, who is Satan, has not poisoned your relationship in some way and have you writing your own Requiem Mass. This is Pastor John in the Lucy Coleman studio on a warm Tuesday evening, saying thank you so much for listening to our number 11.